If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. And I want to thank our friends from the Methodist Church being here and using our facilities. We are happy to have you here. Next week, the flocks sort of go their different ways. I was thinking like Jacob and Esau. Now, Abraham and Lot, no. Let's just go with Peter and Paul. And anyway, they're going to be meeting over there for worship. But we do thank you here. Thank you to help with the music instead of me usually butchering the lines or making up a few stanzas of my own as I go along. But it's Communion Sunday. And we want to look at what we are doing here as a body of believers. So let's see what the Apostle Paul tells us this morning as we look at God's word. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember, at that time, you were excluded from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you've come here together from different faith groups in your kingdom. We ask now that your Spirit will touch us with the good news of the gospel so that we will praise you for what Jesus Christ has done for all of us. Be with us now as we look at what your word says to us. Amen. I'll admit it, there are certain things I'm squeamish about, and one of them is blood. Now, my wife will watch the doctor shows, and she likes to watch one called something about the midwives, and every time she's got that show on and a woman's about to give birth, I got to go in the other room. Can't handle it. And also, you know, everybody's got to go get their blood work done. I've got to go get mine once a year. Got to stick out my arm, and I cannot look. I got to look away because just that whole sight of blood going into that little tube and everything, I just don't like that at all. And with steaks, for example, I like my steak well done, not raw and ready to ride at the rodeo or anything, okay? Don't like that blood. And there's some good reasons why I feel that way. One event was when I was somewhat younger. In high school, I was playing church league softball, and I did a head-first slide into second base, and my finger got caught on the base. And the nail went one way, and it was all bloody. And I said, I got to go to the hospital. I got to go to the hospital. Didn't have to really go to the hospital. But the whole gore, the whole sight of it. And then probably the worst experience of all was when I had to get some blood work done because I was feeling tired. And on a Saturday, not a Friday, not a Monday, I get a call from the doctor that basically said, you need to come see me Monday, because there's a problem. And I was thinking to myself, have I got leukemia or something here? Has my blood betrayed me? Well, that's what blood does to us. It makes us squeamish. And do you realize that for the Hebrews, it was the same way? They weren't thrilled at the sight of blood. Blood usually represented death. And you go back to the Old Testament and all those sacrifices. And believe me, read through the kingship times. There's a lot of animals being slaughtered, a lot of blood that was flowing. And I can't imagine what it would have been like to be in that temple area to see all that blood. It's gruesome. When you think of Christianity, perhaps it's like the advertisements that come out when they want to introduce a new Bible. You have someone at a coffee table drinking a cup of coffee with their new version of the Bible opened, and all is at peace. And all is well. But when we get to the essence of the New Testament, there's blood. There's blood all over the place. We think of the sanctuary and the stained glass windows. And we come here for that bit of peace. And yes, there is peace in Christianity. But let's not forget, at the heart of it was a bloody sacrifice that made it so that you and I can come here together today and worship the one true God.
Amen.
That's why we're here. Because of what he did. Now, when I was at Florida State, I had a religion professor. And he always said, the problem with a lot of religion today is bloodless Christianity. Bloodless Christianity. And I guess what he was saying in his way was, there's not a lot of talk about the cross. There's not a lot of talk about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But hopefully, in a body of believers like this, we are willing to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ who purifies us from our sin.
Amen.
And what I want you to look at today is look at what you are without that blood. And he tells us here, you're lost in your sins. You have no hope in this world. Now, Ephesus was a city in Asia Minor, and it probably was a beautiful city. You can still go there today, and it is really amazing. And while it may be a beautiful city, oh my, it was full of sin. Prostitution. In the walkway, you can see where they advertised, and the house of prostitution was close to the library, and apparently there was some sort of underground tunnel. So if your husband said, I'm going to the library, wives, be careful. Be careful of what he's up to. But they're a bunch of sinners. Lost without God in this world. And if you look at Ephesians 2:1, you were dead in your sins. No God. No Savior. No desire to please God. No desire to worship God. Lost. And if you look at the verses we just read, it tells us plainly, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God. And that is the big problem with humanity, isn't it? Now, here's what we like to say. The big problem with the world is lack of resources. The big problem in the world today is lack of education. And we can go on and name all those problems that we think the world has. And some of them are problems. But do you know what the real problem is? Sin. Without God in this world. We have forgotten at times. What does Scripture say? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But what did David say? My sin is ever before you. There's something wrong in the world. And while you may be skeptical of Christianity, take a look at the headlines. And what do you see? Bloodshed. Deceit. Power plays. People not getting along together. Why? Sin. Sin, sin, sin. And sometimes we can look at ourselves and say, I'm a good person. Compared to who? Now, you may look at some of those people out there and you may say, well, I'm better than him. I got a job. I'm better than him. Look, I show up at church. For all sinned and and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you dare say that I don't need Christ in my life? I don't need his blood? We need his blood. And the problem is we have forgotten to compare ourselves with a holy God who is 100% pure. I used to do interviews at a Christian school for people who wanted to come into the Christian school. And one of the requirements was you had to have at least one parent who was a believer. And so the question was asked was this: why do you think God should let you into his kingdom? And here are the responses. I'm good. I've kept the Ten Commandments. No, you haven't. You have not kept all the Ten Commandments. No one has kept all the Ten Commandments except Christ. But yet there's this thing that goes on about, oh, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. You're not that good. You need Christ. You need him. If there is no blood, you're still in your sins. And you are also separated from the covenants of grace. And that starts out by telling us there's this tension between Jews and Gentiles. The Jews looked at you Gentile folk and said, uncircumcised. And that was a term of derision back then. You uncircumcised Philistines. You uncircumcised people. And there was a sign in the temple. The Gentiles could come to the outer courts, but there was a sign that said, by the way, Gentiles, you go beyond this, you're dead. We'll put you to death. Because you don't belong here. Violators will be killed. He says you're excluded. You're strangers. You have no hope. Now let's think about our lives today. What's going on in the world? What may be going on in your lives? There's no hope. Why is it that people commit suicide? Why is it that they're strung out on drugs so much? Why? They don't have any hope. That's why. You may even feel that way. But that shouldn't be the way it is for Christians. We have God. Why is it that people act the way they do? No hope. And I want you to think about it. If there is no God, if you're not cleansed from your sin, what do you have to look forward to? The grave. 6 foot under. And that's all you have to look forward to. The grave. No wonder you're depressed. No wonder you're without hope. And we may look skeptically at Christianity, but Christianity answers that age-old question of hope. And it comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. And look at what it says. You are with the blood. Your sins have been atoned for. You've been made right with God. And in verse 13, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near. How, congregation? What does it say? By the blood of Christ. It's referring to the atonement, his death on the cross. There had to be someone to pay the price for your sin. Someone who would die for your sins, who would shed their blood for you, something we're not willing to do for anybody else, but Christ did. And in Romans, it says, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God to come. That's what your sins deserve. Death. Even that little itty bitty sin that you committed, in the front of a holy God who is different than you are, you need to die. But God had grace on him. He sent Jesus. He sent him to suffer, to die, so that you can live. What's it like? In China, if someone is convicted of a crime, do you realize they can have a body double who will go to prison for them? This is a true story. There was a young man, apparently well off by Chinese standards, was drag racing his car, hit a pedestrian, killed him. Sentenced to 3 years in prison. had body double, was willing to pay him some money to go to prison for him. We think that's crazy, but isn't that exactly what Jesus Christ did for you? Died on the cross so you go free? Of course, that's what he did for us. The key point is that you cannot draw close to God unless someone dies. And it had to be a Savior. And what is this table all about? Coming close to Christ through the blood of him. That's what it's about. We are bad to the bone, and we need the blood that blinds us to God. And also, that death on the cross reconciles not only us to God, but us to each other. And most of this passage goes on about how he set aside in his flesh the laws with its commands and regulations. Now, he didn't get rid of the Ten Commandments. He fulfilled the Ten Commandments. He got rid of those ceremonial laws that would separate us. And instead, now we can be drawn together. Jew and Gentile. Greek and Parthian. European and African. Americans and Asians. And dare I say it, Presbyterians and Methodists. All coming together with their differences and their different traditions. But yet, in the blood of Christ, we can work together. And I want you to think about this world with all the tensions it has, where people want blood vengeance. You've got wars going on because of this. What does Christ say? I've paid it all by my blood. Get over it and come to me. Come to me. Come to me. And what does Jesus say as we come to this table in a few moments? This is the new covenant in my blood, which was poured out for you. So come to this table. Come to the table. Ernie Pyle was a reporter during World War II. And he was a war correspondent. And in 1945, he was coming back to the United States on a ship that had 1,000 wounded men who had suffered in World War II. There was one soldier who was severely injured, and they needed blood. What they did not do was put out a general announcement. They went through the files. Now you may say, well, why didn't they put out a general announcement? Because everybody would have charged to give blood to that one soldier. It would have created chaos. And here's what Ernie Pyle says. Think of that. A stampede of men themselves, body wounded, willing to give of their blood. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. Wounded for our transgressions. But he gave his blood. The blood of the new covenant poured out for sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we need the blood of Jesus Christ, to take away our sins. And that's why we come to this table with all of our different traditions and beliefs. We come because we all believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of our salvation. So convict us now of our need for Jesus. I make this prayer in his name. Amen. Our hymn is 191, verses 1 and 2. Let's stand and pray.